We Have Issues is a weekly podcast full of reviews of comics and oversharing. We use grown-up language to make very childish jokes. You can find the show at wehaveissues.net, as well as anywhere else where average to not too bad podcasts can be found.
Yeah.
It's good. It's working out really fucking well.
Is it though?
No, not at all. I hate it. I don't like it anymore.
How does it taste?
Like shit.
So,
and my mouth tastes horrible.
Do you at least get that one cigarette where it tastes nice?
Nah, very rarely.
I think we're ready.
We're ready.
I think so. I feel like he's back a little bit.
Back.
But I'm worried that puts too much pressure on him.
It won't.
Back by dope demand.
I don't want to set him off. But then going on about my concerns might set him off. I think what we should do is...
You two probably want to prick on about Thought Bubble.
We want to prick on about Thought Bubble. I mean, we're going to talk about Thought Bubble a lot.
Yeah.
Listener, this is We Have Issues. We're going to talk about Thought Bubble a lot. As James put it, we're going to prick on about Thought Bubble.
Wank on and on and on. Is that okay if you open my Capri Sun now? I've got
open your emergency Capri Sun.
I blew Jane's brain earlier by showing her the correct way to extract the straw.
It seems like I'm way too aggressive for my Capri Sun.
Yeah, you push up with the blunt end and allow the sharp end to pierce the film.
I was just ripping the whole thing off.
Yeah.
Listen, the first voice you heard was mine. That's Nick. The second voice, the Capri Sun fucking expert, was James. And the last voice, probably a bit aggressive, that was Jane.
Have you ever double pierced a Capri Sun?
Yes.
Do you mean you pierce it so much
today.
It goes through the bottom?
Go through the other side. So it goes
through.
Yeah.
It goes through in a diagonal. See, basically what you've got is two holes, the second of which spills all your bloody Capri Sun all over the school back of the school bus.
Both the Capri Suns I had today, I did that too. So not only am I aggressive in pulling the straw off, I'm aggressive in poking it into the drink.
This is my third Capri Sun a day. I'm going to be fucked.
I don't understand why you both drinking. Did you hear that Capri Sun were going bust and you want to try and stop it happening?
Asterix, they don't sponsor our new podcast.
Yeah, they sponsor James and Jane's of Just Listen. We've managed to secure. That's it.
Have watched.
That's it. I can't even remember. It's so fresh. We've managed to secure the big Capri Sun bucks.
The big. I have heard that they are the
only the form of the straw, not the ones with the stupid screw tops.
I always think it's very exciting.
You've not seen Capri Suns with screw tops?
No, that's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. They don't sponsor us.
That goes against the laws of nature. I always find it. It's like a refreshing bag of plasma.
Health drink.
I think a bag of plasma would be refreshing.
It would be.
Yeah.
If you were, say, one of our old friends who we haven't seen in quite some time.
Yes, that's
or at
true.
All on this podcast.
No, you haven't. No.
But maybe one day we will, and it'll be nice. Not today, though.
No. All right. Okay. You never know. Maybe around Christmas.
This is We Have Issues. We're going to be talking we're going to be talking about comics in a little bit. It's been a few weeks since all of us have been in the room together. We're not going to address that though, because it's boring. What we're going
to
do
for us to address that boringly? You want to tune in to Nick and I's other show,
James and I do a podcast called Two Grown Men, which this week was the most self-indulgent thing ever. I'm not going to touch on any of the content of that podcast, except to say that if you like this, share it with people. Mm. Move your little finger or whatever away from the like or the favorite button, and go to share or reblog or whatever, or make up
some rudimentary posters and put them on telegraph posts near where you live.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah. Or every time someone mentions cereal. So yeah, but if you listen to We Have Issues, it's very similar in terms of how the narrative is being played out. Only occasionally they make dick jokes.
There hasn't been a murder.
Well, we don't know that, do we?
Well, we know there's been a murder. We just don't know who done it.
A house blew up in Southampton this week. Does that count?
Was it anything to do with you?
No.
Have you got any interviews of any of the people involved?
I've got an interview with a vampire. I'd quite like to be a vampire.
Would you?
Yeah, I don't care for going out during the day. We were talking about this coming down. I don't like going out during the day because it's easy for people to see you and therefore judge you. So I like going out at night anyway. I've had terrible insomnia, so I might as well stay up and watch Red Letter Media videos while I'm not biting necks. And also, you get very long life. And because I waste so much of my time, I know that when I'm very old, if I ever get very old or if I ever get a terminal illness, a lot of that sort of dying period of my life is going to be filled with regret for all the time I've wasted.
Are you sure you've wasted time, or you're not just doing exactly what you want to do time?
I don't know if I want to be sat down scratching my balls watching Trailer Park Boys as much as maybe I did today.
I want to be sat down scratching your balls.
Lovely. I'd like to.
I said that out loud.
They did get itchy as well.
This is we have issues. You can obviously share us with people. That's fine. We can't control what you do on social media, but we'd like you to share us if you like us.
But if you do share us, make sure you're using a clean MP3 file.
Yeah. You've got to be careful because AIDS can kill.
Apparently not anymore.
Can't it kill anymore?
We were talking to a dude from 1982 who got it, like one of the first people in the UK.
From 1982?
Yeah. Travelled in time.
Yeah. but he got it in 1982. Apparently he's one of the first people in the UK to be diagnosed with it. He looked fine and dandy to me.
In 1982, he was one of the first people with diagnosed.
Yeah, but
with
it's possible people had it before him and they just hadn't been diagnosed, right?
I reckon it's like being a mutant. I think, there's this idea that it's only been around since the 60s, radiation, background radiation, but then you'll find there's the odd Apocalypse or Professor X or someone like that who's been around for a lot longer. I reckon AIDS has been around since the pharaohs.
So this guy's had HIV since 1982?
Yeah.
To be fair, HIV probably, because it originated in Africa, so it probably was around for a long time. And it's only when it started killing white people in the West that it became a thing anyway, isn't it?
I saw a joke.
A bit like, I don't know.
I saw a joke. Oh, let me see if I can do it. I've got this really, really clever joke about Ebola.
Right.
But don't worry, you won't get it.
No, let's just... That was
on Andrew Tunney's Twitter stream, I think. One of his friends shared that.
So. Was that meta?
I don't... Does that count as meta? It's really
difficult.
I'm
asking you.
It's really difficult. If you haven't been listening to Serial, by the way, it's really good. I was avoiding it because everyone was talking about it, and then I thought, all the things I've missed out on because I don't want to be hip.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a podcast.
About?
About murder.
Murder.
Oh.
It's like Taggart, but like just talking.
Is it American or British?
Of course it's fucking American. It's a podcast people listen to.
It's American. It's by the people who did This American Life, but it's a series on one story, and it's really, really good. There's no point really me talking about it loads because everyone who's going to listen to it probably already is, except obviously the people in this room. But I listened to the first one yesterday, and I listened to the last one, the eighth one, yesterday evening while doing stuff around the house. And the new one came out today, and I listened to that as well. But I mean, I've always listened to podcasts. I'm not just one of the... We've promoted the Rachel and Miles Explain the X-Men podcast quite a lot as well.
On a previous podcast, which they destroyed on the moon.
Yeah. I'm not just... nice X-Men reference. I'm not just one of those people who's suddenly talking about podcasts because it's cool because Serial's come out. But it is very good. The problem is, because it's a true story, you kind of already know that you're not going to know the outcome, because otherwise you'd know about it already.
What's your favourite cereal?
My favourite cereal... I don't know.
Jane, what's your favourite cereal?
I'm I don't really like cereal. Oh. Does muesli count as cereal?
Yeah.
Oh, muesli.
It's, I mean, it's a very, like, it's a very modern middle class cereal, but it's still a cereal.
Oh, I like pecan crunch. Is that, that's a...
Or those little strawberry wheaty things that Asda do, they're quite nice.
I think whatever it was you just said, the crunch stuff...
Pecan crunch.
I think that was capitalism's way of trying to really benefit off muesli, wasn't it?
Could be, yeah.
It seems like it might be healthy, but I'm not sure if it is healthy.
No, it's really not healthy. It's muesli without all the shit in it. And I like Asda Cocoa Pops.
I like Cocoa Pops. I generally eat Weetabix, mainly because...
Weetabix with butter and jam on. No milk, just butter and jam. It's very yummy.
No,
that's a very English croissant, isn't it?
I like eating Weetabix like a normal person. But also, when money is no object, like it was at the weekend, and you could just get a box of whatever cereal you wanted from the hotel buffet, I had a Special K. I'm quite partial to Special K. They're like cornflakes, but they are tastier.
I guess. Is it just me, or when you get cereal from the buffet, it's got to be two boxes, right?
No.
One box isn't doing you.
You see, we'll talk about what we've been up to.
Have you cooked breakfast too?
Let's talk about what we've been up to. We won't go into too much detail about the comic convention that Jane and I went to, but James didn't go to. Mm. But Jane and I went to a comic convention at the weekend called Thought Bubble up in Leeds, and it was lovely.
Oh, tell me about it.
But, no, specifically, I want to talk about the reason why I only had one box of cereal. It might seem like I was being healthy.
Well, Special K's are notoriously, if you've got a red swimsuit you're trying to get into.
Yes. I want to look like those ladies. I think they're lovely.
Yes.
I think they might actually be the loveliest ladies. Aside from the ladies in the Dove commercials, they might be the loveliest looking ladies in TV advertising, the Special K. I mean, it's not all about what I think they look like, but I think they're quite lovely.
I'll try and think of lovelier ladies and I'll get back to you.
Nigella Lawson, like her.
No.
We really like her chicken and lemon, slow roasted chicken with lemon. And anyway, so the reason I was having the seemingly healthy option, I decided I was going to be the person who went to the all-you-can-eat breakfast buffet.
Good.
And just got some breakfast cereal and some fruit. Mm. But that was because I knew I was going to be meeting Jane and we were going to be going for a full English breakfast somewhere else.
We had a breakfast and a half somewhere else.
So I was actually having two breakfasts.
You are an actual hobbit.
I'm a monster.
You're a hobbit. You have second breakfast.
I don't know. I was out of control. It was ridiculous.
Doesn't count. If you've had fruit and Special K to start with, that's like you might as well have just had a piece of gum.
Just literally, I mean, it's quite good for, like, so by having the Special K and fruit, what I'm getting is you're saying it's like if you eat a whole meal and it's celery.
Yeah.
You eat the Special K and the fruit, and that immediately invalidates any calories that you get from anything else.
You totally can, like, have a pizza after you've had a meal of celery, because celery actually takes more calories
to eat
than it actually gives you from...
You'd have to eat a lot of celery, though.
It's horrible, fibrous body.
I love celery.
It's way easier to eat if you put some cream cheese or lots of salt or something on it, though.
Or just admit that it's shit and don't eat it at all.
No, it's
we
lovely.
We had celery on
celery.
The train on the way up as part of a banquet.
We did. We had a banquet. We met a lady and a man, Eva and Grant.
Yeah.
And she had one of those bags like Mary Poppins has.
Yeah.
Where she said, oh, it looks like it's time for some lunch. She didn't say that. She just started pulling stuff out and it was this full
It was incredible.
Picnic. It was amazing.
There was lots of nice cheeses and oat cakes and fruit and grapes and celery. She was amazing.
The most middle class train journey.
Oh, it was
ever.
Incredible. And I accidentally touched her boob twice. She didn't mind.
I'm friends with her on Facebook now. I get the feeling she wouldn't have a problem with that. It's fine. But they were going to the comic convention as well. It turned out.
Okay.
James thinks her journey up was middle class.
Oh, wait till he hears about the journey back.
Should we do the journey, the accommodation stuff? Because that's the kind of stuff we did. And we can talk about the comic content of the weekend later on. The cheapest way for us to travel back, James... I know you've probably already heard this, but for the sake of
only
the podcast...
Or, only eight or nine times, but let me see if I can act like I've heard it from... No, because you came around my house last night and you told me all about it a couple of times. And then I saw you, I met up with you earlier, and you told me already about it. Anyway, sorry.
Yes, if
you tell me about this. I'm interested.
I cannot get the sound levels right. We, because of some quirk in the ordering, the ticket ordering process, the cheapest way to travel back was by first class.
That seems ridiculous.
We should, if it's fair to say, and I think it is fair to say, that Hampshire, the county we are in at the moment, is quite middle class. And the bottom part of the country is more middle class than the topper part of the country.
There's no getting away from that.
Yeah.
It will probably confuse matters to say that the only luxury we experienced at any point over our weekend all happened very much north of London.
Yeah.
First class means something different from Leeds to London than it does from London to Southampton, which is very peculiar.
It is. It also means something different on a publicly run service and a privately run service.
Is the Norvy one publicly run?
Yes.
Oh, that was East Coast Trains.
Yep, East Coast Trains was lavish. It was extremely luxurious, very, very nice, really lovely staff. Got lunch, got drinks, everything.
It was odd. It was quite a confusing experience. I think that probably Jane and Steve, life partner Steve, was also there. You probably felt the same way as me. You didn't like to take anything off the trolley the first time it came round because you weren't sure if they were going to charge you for it.
Oh, no, I didn't have that issue.
You didn't have that problem. See, I still have that problem. James, everything's free.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you've paid for it.
But it's all like you can have sandwiches, you can have a hot meal, you get glasses of your drinks.
I wouldn't have taken it. I was at a friend's house earlier, Jane. And I could have had a whole bag of peanut M&Ms to myself, and I chose not to because I didn't want to seem greedy in front of her, though the fact that I'm clearly obese.
That's just such. I bought them for him, and he was too scared to open them.
The man on the table opposite was he. The food came round, and he said, "Oh, can I have some?" She said, "Would you like a sandwich?" He said, "Yes." Could I have chicken? And she and the waitress and his wife both said at the same time, the chicken's not, it's like a chicken breast, it's actually a meal. There's not chicken sandwiches. So he said, oh, I don't know. And the lady pointed one out to him. Let's say egg. I don't know if it was egg.
Egg.
And they were all laid out in triangles like you get in meetings, like overly catered meetings.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, I'll have egg sandwiches then, please. And the lady said, how many would you like?
Oh, yeah, 2, 3, or 4.
And he said, I think he was as surprised as
everyone
I was.
Everyone said 2.
He said 3, okay. just to see what happened. And she just scooped them out and gave them. There was no question. Mm. Fucking hell, first class. I think first class all the way. Someone at work tried to berate me.
Only for East Coast Trains, though, we have to stress. Only on East Coast Trains.
Southwest
Trains was horrible.
It wasn't very nice. The chairs reclined, but Jane's, I think, reclined.
It's broken.
It was just broken
on its own.
And she went to pull the curtain, because you get curtains in first class. She went to pull the curtain across and lean her head against it, and Steve shouted, "Jane, no!" It was filthy.
Our headrests were really disgusting as well.
Yeah,
to the point you didn't want to put your hands on them, let alone your head.
I think James is disgusted with the opulence and decadence of us going first
class. It was
actually
worse than being in a normal carriage.
It was worse than being with the plebs.
You see, one of my colleagues tried to make me feel guilty about this, but it occurred to me, although I didn't point it out to him, he said, Oh, yeah, I can't. He listened to me saying that the Southern one, if I'd known it was public, maybe if I'd said, oh, it's publicly run, like
East Coast,
publicly owned, and capped it, that would have proved a point that he was more comfortable with. I don't know. Mm. But he said, oh, I don't agree with first class on trains. It's anathema to me. And I was like, dude, when your bike got stolen, you complained that you had to replace it, which cost you £1,000 because your previous bike cost £1,000. Was the £1,000 bike that he was riding, well, the £2,000 bike, I guess, was it only as good as like a 50 quid bike that he would have got off Freecycle? If yes, then he gets to complain. If no, well, he needs to check his privilege, because I couldn't afford a £1,000 bike for damn straight.
Does he know it's Christmas time at all?
Does he know that they were in cheap tickets as well?
I don't know. I lost interest in talking to him. I just went onto Twitter and was passive aggressive.
So if the conversation comes up again, you go, oh yeah, no, East Coast Trains is publicly run. They also turn the most profit and are the most stable train service in the country.
I will do that.
Who are they run by again? Sorry,
the public.
Oh, they're a public sector organisation.
Yeah, they were privately owned, and we bailed them out, and it's the best service in the country.
It's pretty good. I liked it. And Leeds is so nice. You can afford to buy rounds up there. It's lovely.
I know. Even when people are like, this is expensive, I was like, this is cheap. Even hotel stuff was super cheap.
Sorry, James.
What? No, I had a nice Saturday. I was on my own all day long and made a Airfix model beetle.
Really?
It's that a love sounds bug. Awesome.
That sounds pretty good.
I'm going to give it to my daughter, so I've painted a red heart on the top of it.
Oh, that's cute.
It looks all right, doesn't it?
One of the wheels is a bit precarious.
Yeah, well, it's because something snapped, but it's still on there. It's stuck on, but it looks all right, though, doesn't it?
2 seconds of scarlet, it won't be on
You
there.
Had to immediately go to the one weakness in it, apart from the other weaknesses.
I was just concerned about getting scarlet.
It's going to break. You can rely on your friends to run you down.
The was decent.
Thank you. I'm happy with that for a first try.
Is it the first model you've ever done?
No, I did one when I was 14.
And so around the time you got married then?
I got bored. It was a plane of some sort, warplane, because Airfix don't do commercial transport, I don't think, do they?
No.
Not airborne.
It's all about
transport.
War.
When it's all about war with Airflix.
Airflix,
yeah.
Hairflix.
No, Airflix. They were the precursor to Netflix.
I once stabbed myself in the leg because of an Airflix model.
Really?
Yeah, I was off.
It can be very frustrating.
I was off sick. I was off sick for the day off school, and my mum had gone out, so I was sat ridiculously. I had my little craft knife,
nice,
and I was trying to cut an antenna off one of the, are they called squibs?
Fuck knows.
Or whatever they're called, the plastic thing that they're on.
I've only done two.
And with the antennas, you have to really saw through, and I was sitting cross-legged. It wasn't very safe. Should have really done my health and safety training back then, but I don't think health and safety existed back then.
You can do a risk assessment.
About 13, so probably a bit younger than that actually. And I got through the antenna, but I had to saw through it. And when I saw through, once there was no longer any resistance, the Stanley knife just went, and it was one of those long, thin blades that snap off.
Basically, which part?
And I stuck it in my thigh.
Oh, not, yeah. So I thought it was going to be nuts.
No, oh God, no. No, they wouldn't be that as big as they are now if I'd had That's an true. Effort at deflating them back then. And I was so scared that I'd get into trouble with my mum that I just went into the bathroom and put lots of pressure on it and ran it under a tap until it stopped. But it was pretty deep.
Good idea.
Could have been dangerous.
Probably needed stitches.
If I'd died then, that would have made a point that even my mother couldn't have ignored how terrifying she is.
How do you know you didn't?
I don't. This could all be... We could all be dead.
This could be hell.
Well, I mean, it might be.
Feels like it.
Oh, I don't think my hell and your hell would be the same. I like it. It is a very red room, though.
That's true. My Airfix model, I just painted it red all over and then threw it away. I didn't care for it once I'd done it.
Even back then, you were very socially aware and thought, it's a war. It's an instrument of war.
No, I was just very disappointed with myself.
Oh, so you weren't covering it in blood? Yeah. And
no, I looked at it and thought, well, you've ruined that, haven't you? Threw it away.
Why did you just paint over it?
Well, that didn't occur to me.
I feel like we've gone off the point a little bit.
Comics? Something about comics?
Yeah, we are a podcast about comics. We'll be talking about those in a minute. You can talk to us about comics. You can follow us on Twitter at IssuesPod, IssuesPod, or by talking to us directly. I am Nick Sight. Jane is?
Cover Jane.
Yeah, it was difficult. You almost forgot it there for a second.
Did.
James is?
Roman Polanski.
Yes, James is Roman Polanski. You can also email us at issuespod@gmail.com. We've got a Facebook page and other stuff. I think there's still a Tumblr. I need to get on posting that. We also post all of these episodes on YouTube and on SoundCloud as well. You'll find links to all of those on the site. The site...
Yeah.
Is wehaveissues.net.
We should have a PO box so people who don't have access to the internet can write in with a self-addressed envelope. We can put the
CDs.
Put the show in there. No, just
or
put
just the
show
MP3.
In there.
Just put the
no,
show.
Just no. Put the show in there.
Okay.
So hold open the envelope whilst we're doing the show and seal it afterwards.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
We can't. I mean, I think I like your initiative.
Thank
but
you.
We'd need to. We couldn't just have one because I think demand would be too high. We'd have to have envelopes.
We'd
lined
have to
up in front of us.
To open up the envelopes for us.
We'd have to have a number of envelopes.
Maybe we should sell
numberlopes.
We should sell up a Kickstarter.
That's not a bad idea at all.
Patreon. Or a Patreon. That's more sustainable, I think.
I think so. Yeah.
I got. I'm not going to tell the story of my cards, my business cards. It's too embarrassing. Shall we talk about the comics from this week?
Yeah.
That we obtained this week, if not that were out this week.
Yes.
Why are you looking at me? I haven't got any.
Oh, okay. Jane, where did you get your comics?
I got my comics at Thought Bubble.
Did you?
Yeah.
Is that the comic convention in
it
Leeds?
It is. It's also part of... Is it part of the Leeds International Film and Arts Festival or something?
It's part of the Arts Festival, yeah.
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 I think if James says it, then it's probably true. He's known for being accurate.
Is it still in Savills Hall, or are they pretending
that... Oh, no, it's called New Dock.
They're pretending that didn't happen up in Leeds now,
are
they?
All his faces have gone.
So his little Jim will fix it car's gone, the little...
All of it is completely bare. It is called the New Dock Hall now.
I think they've decided the one thing that's notable is they haven't named any of the places after people now.
Sensible.
So that's New Dock, and it's Royal Armouries across the way. There is no Cliff Richard place. I mean, just in case... Or
any given politician from the 70s, apparently.
There was a teepee.
There was a teepee. What Jane means is a sort of a tent-style, marquee-style place as opposed to just a big toilet paper.
I thought, far be it from me to criticise.
That's
not
true.
It looked awfully like a gazebo to me.
But they called it a
gazebo.
Teepee.
Yeah, which is, you know, I'm not going to pass judgment on naming conventions, but... I'm a very straightforward man. I call a gazebo a gazebo.
I'm not entirely
quite
convinced.
Solid doors.
I'm not entirely convinced English middle class people know the best way to describe a Native American.
Well, we use
the word teepee, but I don't think we're ever actually.
If it had a solid door, it's more like a yurt.
Mm. A collapsible yurt.
Yeah.
A yurt. What's a yurt?
It's like a Mongolian tent.
Oh.
Yeah. There's a song that Adam Buxton does, which is instructive about yurts. It's called the Festival Song. Mm. You can get them collapsible, apparently.
Nice.
And there's a medicine tent in case anybody gets hurt. He rhymes yurt with hurt. That guy's a fucking genius.
He is a genius.
So you got comics at the convention,
the festival convention.
What part? The hall or the teepee?
I got these from New Dock Hall. All the famous people in the teepee. The first book I'm going to talk about is called Deep. And also, listener, Deep Shadow Talk makes up a new comic from the names of my comics.
It makes more sense if you can see what she's done. She's got all of the comics next to each other, and they've all got one name, one word names, which is quite cool.
And it says Deep.
Deep Shadow Talk, which is the porn version of every single one of these comics.
Interesting.
It's true.
So Deep is by our friend Lem, and it's the second installment in his space series. So he's doing a few books that are all set in space. This one is about a flight engineer, Ida Jameson, and a science officer, Adam Lawrence. Adam is on his first... Is it a spacewalk when you walk outside your spaceship? I guess
that's what that's called.
He's on his first or second spacewalk, and it's all a bit precarious, and he's a bit nervous. And Ida's talking him through and trying to help him through it when he gets struck by an object and sort of floats away from her and the rock that they're on. I'm not going to go into too much more than that because it's... changes quite a lot from there.
It's very ambiguous as well.
Yes, it is.
I can't help but notice that he drew in yours.
He did.
Didn't even put his signature in mine.
Oh.
To be fair, we're sharing a table with Jane's life partner.
He drew a bunny and an owl for me.
So he did two drawings.
It's because I asked for a bunny, and then he said, oh, is that really what you want? I said, well, I want an owl, but I'm not sure if that would be too complicated, so he did both.
Maybe I should have asked.
I like that he resists the temptation to put stars in his spacescapes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gorgeously, gorgeously drawn. It's just the use of black and white is just incredible. The previous book that Lem did, Botany, was the same. It's just this really nice sort of spacescape and, you know, just being black and white. You know, what else do you need? You're in space.
When you say spacescape, do you mean space escape?
Spacescape.
Space. Isn't there a comic called Space Escape?
No, a space cape.
A spacey scape.
Space escape.
That's yeah. Spacey cape. Spacey escape.
Space escape.
Never get
it's good. I read it too. I said to him, because we had dinner with him on one of the nights, didn't we, on Sunday night?
Oh, la-di-da.
And I said, not just with him, and I said, we went to a burger place that I think had been taken over by criminals.
Yeah.
They were running out of everything, and the man...
quite scary.
He said yourselves instead of you, and I immediately thought, this isn't quite right. Mm. There's something wrong here. Because that's an estate agent word.
Well, or a policeman giving a statement.
Oh, yeah. Yourselves. Do they do that?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like it. They should know better. Anyway, so I said to him, I really, really liked it, but I think I need to read it again because I don't think I understood it. And he said, do you want me to give you hints? Which suggests that there are hints he could give. So I instantly said, no, I like it being ambiguous.
Oh, okay.
It is good though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really good.
It's very good.
Annoyingly, he hasn't put in his website or any way you can get hold of it.
Yeah, at least you got a drawing. Oh, he gave me the website address. No, he didn't.
Did you get your name?
No, oh. I didn't get nothing.
I did bring him lots of food and drink, so that could be why.
Go and search for Bunny Comic, and I bet you find him from there.
Yeah, we'll find him. I'll put it in the show notes. There's going to be... I have to apologise, listener. There is going to be a lot of nepotism and what's the word, name-dropping and stuff. Admittedly, not names you'll have heard of, but we're mostly going to be talking about nice people that we got to talk to.
Everyone was nice.
Yeah.
And the second two books I'm going to talk about are by Sarah Burgess.
Did you have a burger with her as well?
No, she was lovely, though. She was so nice. Nick probably doesn't know who this is.
No, we got talking
to her. Oh, you
remember
her? Yeah, yeah.
Because I bumped into a very, like, someone I knew a very long time ago, and we got talking about dogs, didn't we? And she got excited when we started talking about
dogs.
She was
very endeared by you. She was talking about you the following day when I bought these books.
Oh, I'm pretty awesome. It's the beard. There wasn't anyone there with a beard, James.
No.
Yeah, I believe that. Yes, I can't imagine anyone at a comic book convention having a beard.
Apparently they're in fashion at the moment. Did you know that?
I had a shave today on purpose.
So you didn't want to be in fashion. You were going to be around students.
I had a shave to spite fashion, and I hadn't had a shave in about 2 weeks. So I was starting to look
hobo-esque.
Well, you saw me last night. Did I look hobo-esque?
Oh, no, you didn't. Actually, I didn't even notice you hadn't shaved today.
Apparently the H, when you say it in England, is silent, so it's obo.
Obo. Obo-esque.
Obo.
I thought that was a woodwind instrument.
No.
And fucking hell, Jane. Anyway, we call them tramps in this country.
Oh, yeah. What's wrong with hobo?
Except that apparently the P is silent in that, so we actually call them trams. And those things that drive around really old cities, those are...
Hobos.
The T is silent in those, so they're called rams. And then those animals that written down, it looks like ram. The M is silent, so they're called
rah.
And that's as far as I've got.
We dropped the S somewhere along the way.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't need it. It was unnecessary.
It's an old Egyptian emperor. No, it's a sun god, isn't it? But we don't. We drop the R and we call him
Yes. And in English, there's I don't know, it's one of those really little words that you use to refer to a thing. Except generally, oh, stupid now.
Yeah.
Sorry, anyway, so I see I got embarrassed because you said that she even remembered me.
She did remember, remember she me. Remembered the talk about the dogs, and she said actually she'd been talking about later, thinking about it later in the evening, so you left quite an impression on her, Nick.
Oh. And I can't do impressions, so that's funny.
She was very lovely, and I bought two books from her. The first I'm going to talk about is Shadow, which is about a boy who's in the desert with his shadow. And he's having to say goodbye to a shadow because the rain's going to come in. And he doesn't want to say goodbye to a shadow, but a shadow is saying to him, well, surely you're pleased that I'm going, that there's going to be rain. Why are you so sad? And the boy's like, why are you so eager to leave? The shadow leaves, and then it works out quite nicely for the boy in the end. Really, really love Sarah's artwork.
It's really cute, isn't it?
I
like her faces.
Yeah, the expression and the feeling that she can sort of convey in quite simple way. Not as simple as in her drawing simple, but there's not lots of
detail.
Yeah. No, well, yeah, I guess detail is probably the best way to put it. There's not lots of detail. This is just a black and white book, and it's got some nice gold swirly stuff on the front, which I really liked as well. It looks like it's hand done.
These two books and Lem's book are like that. And the A5 format that the small press loves. I picked up lots of that sort of thing. A lot of small press people are starting to do more American-sized comics. I guess it's become cost-effective, and there are printers that do it. But I still really like the A5 format.
Yeah, I really like the A5 format.
Still plenty of it about, but it's more an aesthetic choice now, I think. I like it.
The second book is Talk, again by Sarah Burgess. This one is... got is really, really gorgeous. It's a silent comic about communication. It's about a boy and a girl who just can't quite convey to each other how they're feeling. This is the reverse. This is very beautifully detailed. It's still Sarah's artwork, still got her facial expression, but the actual detail in this is incredible. There's lots and lots of frantic panels sort of showing how awkward and uncomfortable the couple are to begin with, and while they're trying to become friends and decide if they like each other more. It's silent, so there's lots of vacant speech bubbles as well, so almost saying that whatever they're saying to each other doesn't really matter, it's the way they're acting with each other. There's a nice use of colour. There's pink and there's yellow and there's this really, really lovely greeny-grey colour throughout all of it. And the side view she does of the girl is just really, really gorgeous. It's really nice. The just facial feature is just really, really pretty. I really liked it. It does finally have some words in it, and they do finally get to tell each other how they feel.
The colour palette on it looks like some of Andy Watson's books. It's really sort of... I really like that green, that really sort of... kind of greyish green. It's really difficult to explain. My colour sense isn't great.
And in spare time, Sarah is a trained muscle man and a psychic 80s warrior.
Okay, I get
that.
That's probably not true. That sounds fanciful.
Well, there's a picture.
So that sounds like it might be whimsy,
Jane. It would lead me to believe it's true. She also sparkles, which is nice.
You know, that's a drawing. I mean, that's no guarantee. It's not a photograph.
It's a lifelike drawing.
Jane doesn't... Okay. Jane doesn't really understand that whimsy and reality aren't the same thing.
Oh, sugar, sorry. And I haven't
that better than anyone.
That's true. I haven't met the lady, so I mean, you guys would know better than me.
She was very nice. I liked her. I meant to go back, but I missed lots of people. I failed to go back almost everywhere I intended to go back. And that was one of the places I wanted to pick it up because I really like the faces.
That's fine, Nick. She has a website where you can, I'm sure you can get her comics.
Say the address.
It's Nighty Lighty. That's nighty.co.uk.
At which point, spelling it out, do you wish you hadn't started spelling it out? Because I could tell there was a point that happened.
Okay.
I'll put it on the show notes.
That's the catchphrase.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, actually, will though. I'll remember.
You should definitely buy her comics, Nick, because they're brilliant.
I wanna. I hope I can get them online.
And
I thought
she'll
they were
draw
really
a little
cute.
Doggy in yours.
Yes, we were talking a lot about dog psychology It was interesting. It was one of those things where I honestly thought by bringing up dog psychology, that was one of those. There was a recurring motif over the weekend where I had to keep turning to Jane and saying, Jane, I don't think I know which stories are the good stories that you're supposed to tell people.
Filter it out.
But Jane thinks you should bail out of stories, whereas I think you've just got to finish them. You can't leave people hanging.
I'm just used to James, but it makes it more interesting. So at the end, if you think, oh, that was boring, they look bored. If you bail out, you're like, ah.
Always leave them wanting.
They know the true story, did they? That's what James does.
Yeah. Always leave them wanting.
Yeah.
More. Okay. Thank you, Jane. Do you have any others?
No, that was it. I did buy other things, but I haven't had time to read them. I have a really amazing book by Graham Johnson, and I also got a loyalty card from Graham Johnson.
Ooh.
I get rewards.
That's weird. I didn't actually buy nearly as many comics as I thought I would, but I did get a few. I think they kind of, we talked about them a little bit in the past, but Space Escapes. I got the £2.50 collected editions of that. I've talked to Dave and Ian. I've talked to both of them about how I find it very difficult.
Sorry, who are they by?
David Wynne and Ian Charman.
They sound like a pair of charlatans, mate. I've never heard of them.
No, then they weren't. They're not old enough to have been in a band in the 80s, 90s.
I don't know. Are they not?
Well, not the Charlatans.
Well, they could have been quite young.
Which song did the Charlatans do? I can't.
Let's see. North Country Boy, Telling Stories.
Lifestyle of Rich and Famous.
No, a famous one.
The Only One I Know.
The Only One I Know. That's the only one. Ironically, that's the only one I know.
Polar Bear, Up to Our Necks.
Nope, don't know those. I literally only know the only one I know.
Sorry. Telling Stories, did I say that? North Country Boy.
Yeah, you've said you're just looping now.
Up at the Lake, that's another.
You're like a Netflix list. You're just going round and round.
Airplane.
We've seen all
that's
of
that's a film. That wasn't them. Anyway,
fucking Airplane.
So Space Escape is really good. I really liked it, but we'll probably talk about that more in depth at some point in the future. I know James really likes that as well. I want to talk to him about it before. You didn't really care for it?
I don't care for their work.
He's lying.
Anyway, so,
oh, God, I love them so much.
He does.
And, oh,
it's pretty hard to get.
God, I want to touch David Wynne so much.
Also, new sketchbooks from the wonderful Mark Lamming and the wonderful Dave Stokes.
Oh.
His says Stoked. With a 3 in place of the E to suggest that it is the third book. It is. The first two books are great. Mm. But for a moment, I couldn't remember what his first name was. But it's Dave Stokes.
He's a talented mother hubbard, isn't he?
He is. He's very talented.
He was sporting a beard as well. And I told him he was fashionable, and he was really surprised. It was an accidental beard, apparently. He just hadn't shaved for a while.
That's how beards happen.
The thing a lot of youngsters try to obfuscate from ladies, and I'm not suggesting that this is because ladies are daft or anything, it's just that they don't have necessarily the same problem, is that how growing a beard is somehow a lifestyle choice, as if it doesn't just happen by itself if you leave it for long enough. Most of the people that we know and like who had beards, I think, just have them because that's what a man's face does if you leave it for long enough.
Okay, yeah, I guess they weren't. I don't want to be rude.
Dave's looked like he just hadn't shaved for a few days.
Yeah,
didn't it?
So it didn't look like he was trying to make it look anything other than what it was, which was a beard.
Which is interesting because everything else he does seems affected and hipsterish. No, that's not true either. He's lovely, David.
He is lovely.
Dave Stokes. Sorry, we were talking about a different David.
Dave Stokes.
Oh, yeah, Dave Stokes.
I'm confused.
They've both got beards at the moment, but one has far more of a beard. David Wynne's beard is. Does he have a beard at the moment?
Yes.
He's got real hipster hair, though, at the moment. It's very confusing.
He's got very nice hair.
Yes. I didn't say it wasn't nice. Warwick.
Ooh. Recuperating.
Warwick Johnson Cadwell had a new book. Well, I thought it was a new book. Tom Hand, A Tale of Stories. It was done as part of a 24-hour comic thing at the, I guess it's the Lakes International Comic Art Festival, which I think is relatively new.
It is. I heard people talking about that after that had some very positive comments made about it. I saw on the social media site Twitter.
Ah. I don't remember seeing those, but this book, if this is the sort of work people are doing there, It's really lovely. It's a story about salty old fishermen and the tall tales they tell, and it's really good. He does some really good work with quite, because one of the things about Warwick's style is it can be quite chaotic. So this one shows quite a lot of restraint in just the conversations. When there are three people around a table, he keeps it quite simple, and then when they're telling the stories, it goes all big and full page and stuff. It's really cool. Also, there was a short comic. He says it was only 8 pages. I felt like it was more than that. There's a short comic by Robert Ball. He claimed he hadn't done anything new for this convention, but I hadn't seen this before. He did The Winter's Night. A comic called Winter's Night, I think. He's done one volume, mm-hmm. and he's going to be doing another one. This is a very short. It's basically an adaptation of the... Is it a poem or an old story about Bluebeard?
I don't know.
Not Blackbeard, Bluebeard. It's told from the point of view of a lady who falls in love with this soldier, this very rich soldier. He marries her, and then he goes straight off to war, and he gives her a key, which he says, you can unlock all of the doors. This key unlocks all the doors of this mansion. Or he gives her a bunch of keys. But you mustn't, there's this one door that you mustn't unlock. And she waits for him to come back from war. But of course, her curiosity starts to really prick at her about this room. The storytelling and art in it is amazing. He said, when I said to him on Twitter that this is amazing, he says this is mainly a test for the next volume of Winter's Night. So I think the thing about comic artists is it always amazes me what they think of as disposable.
Oh, yeah.
He literally just pulled this together. It is one of the most... The visual storytelling is great, but it's also one of the most gorgeously composed things I've ever seen. The pages, each page as well as telling a story, along with the very poetic text... It is also an amazing black and white picture in its own right, an amazingly composed page. There are flashes of colour, but for the most part, it's black and white with splashes of red or blue to point out particular bits of the story. When we met Sarah Burgess, she was actually standing next to a chap who recognised me, and I had a moment of not recognition, who used to work in a comic shop here in Southampton and then moved up north, I think, to become a teacher, but also now he's doing comics and stuff. The book that I bought off him is this big newspaper-sized book called Die, Boo, Die, the horror comic for kids that dare to read it. The dare is in red.
Oh.
Do you know it's scary?
Well, that's nature's warning colour, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it is. It is.
Or is it? I don't know.
I think it might be. Or maybe it's yellow and black. I don't know.
Jane?
Yeah.
As well as Warwick and Robert Ball, who have pages in this, there's a story by Paul Harrison Davis himself, who is the chap I was talking to. There's a gorgeous-looking story written by Rob Davis with art by Simon Gain, who I love. He did an amazing Godzilla comic. Basically, he's the reason why I picked up a Godzilla comic a couple of years ago. Amazingly detailed work. But everybody in this is really, really good. And the stories are kind of a lot of fun. You can see how you could read this with a kid, but it does that thing that we all kind of hark back to from our childhoods, but isn't that visible in most kid-oriented stuff now, of being quite gory and a bit gross. There's a Roald Dahl-esque nastiness to some of the stories in this. It's just great. One of my favourite bits is actually by Paul Harrison Davis. It's the easy and utterly inadvisable guide to dressing up like a zombie. But there's also a story by Jonathan Edwards, which is really nice. Some of the stories are properly creepy.
The triple jumper.
Yes, yeah, him. Some of the stories are properly creepy.
Good.
I like it.
Kids should have creepy stories.
I actually got quite a lot this week. So I also want to mention Cross, which was a bigger book. I can't remember how much I paid for it. Edited by Disconnected Press, which is headed by Lizzie and Connor Boyle. It's basically a political satire. It's an anthology.
Yeah.
But it's on the premise that there aren't really... We're in a time in this country, especially, where political satire it would seem to be a really good time for it, and yet there isn't that much of it around. Kind of ignoring the Chris Morris and Amanda Iannucci school of political satire a little bit by saying that, but like the broader brush stuff.
Hey, was Chris Morris hasn't actually had a new project since Nathan Barley?
No, that's actually a very good point. It's kind of very nostalgic for the days of Spitting Image and the New Statesman and stuff like that in this country.
Bremner Bird and Fortune.
And it's sort of it's at that level. And to be honest, I haven't always gotten on with that sort of broad brush satire. So I feel like I really enjoyed this book. It was great value. It must have been, because I can't remember how much I paid for it. I will link to the site so that you can get this yourself. Lots of really amazing creators. And I really enjoyed it, even though the satirical side of a lot of it, or the humour of most of the stories, didn't resonate with me. But I'm aware that I don't have that high a tolerance for it. But the art in this is absolutely amazing. I think is there an actual credit list?
So is it written and narrated by different people then?
It's written and drawn by a bunch of different people. I think my favorite stories, there's one written by Tom Eglinton with art by Verity Glass. All of the stories look so good, but this one's written by Tom Eglinton with art by Verity Glass, called It's a Shit Life, and it's a pastiche of It's a Wonderful Life. But a lot of I think the thing is, for me, this is quite an important, I think it's quite an important book, and some of the stories are quite important, but it's very much made at a time when you've got the extremes of our political world in Britain at the moment are UKIP and the worst excesses of the Conservative Liberal coalition at one end, and then Russell Brand at the other end saying don't vote. And so voting is a huge theme in this. It shines quite a light on all of our political parties and the excesses of them at the moment, and keeps drumming home the point that not voting just isn't that great an option, which is pretty cool. But I already kind of feel that way, so a lot of that went over my head. The reason I kind of mention the Tom Eglinton Verity Glass story, though, is those are two creators I don't know, and I really, really like their story. The other two stories that I really liked were both by writers that I know really well. So I felt like I couldn't really comment. There's a brilliant there's a story called Nigel Farage, Agent of Crown, written by Richmond Clements with art by Nick Dyer. I don't know either of those, but that was quite funny. He's stamping out illegal immigrants who are all vampires because they're from East Europe. And there's a story written by David Bailey with gorgeous art by Spinx about a time traveling political correspondent, which is great. But I know David, so I have to be careful with that. But there's my favourite story in it is actually the final story, and it's called Pulling the Plug. It's written by Cy Dethan, who wrote Cancer Town and lots of other things.
Yeah.
And with this amazingly rendered art by Matt Timson. But that one resonated with me the most, mainly because it starts out from a really typical satirical, old school satirical viewpoint, and then takes a sharp turn into just metatextual anger at the state of us not having any satire at the moment. Ties it into the fact that to the recent fact of Rick Mayall's death and stuff like that, and talks a little bit about the New Statesman, which I really need to go back and watch because I feel like I loved it when it was on, but I haven't seen it in many, many years.
But it was of its time, wasn't it?
It was very of its time. But it might be of this time as well, right now.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know. actual comic books that I got actually, that I bought actually this week from an actual comic shop.
Excuse me, do you know, I think I did a little burp there and I was quite near the
I didn't hear it.
The microphone. Well, you never know.
From Image. I just want to mention this book from Image. It's $3.50. It's number one of Intersect, written and drawn by Ray Fawkes. I can't recommend this unreservedly because I found it quite baffling. But it's a book that it's a very vague and poetic book that seems to be about a world where something bad has happened or has started to happen. We have we're introduced to a couple of characters. One seems to be two people who previously knew each other but now take turns in the same body, and they're trying to escape from some cataclysm, some urban cataclysm. One of the two people in the body wants to get away, but every time the other person swaps in, they're like, no, I want to get back to the city. So that's a central trope in there, is that these two people aren't getting on. The reason I'm a bit confused by it is it's written in a very poetic and ambiguous way. The art by Ray Fawkes is this gorgeous painted artwork, but it's quite ambiguous and poetic as well. I've said this about Pretty Deadly number one, and Pretty Deadly went on to be one of the best series of the last couple of years. So I kind of get the feeling that I'm going to get the second issue of this, and if I dial into it properly, I think it's going to be a really great book. But as it's just come out, I think it's worth, if you're going to the comic shop at some point and you see it on the shelf, it's worth having a look, seeing if the art really resonates with you. What really struck me is I can't remember if I've talked about it here, but we watched Pontypool recently, which is a film about the breakdown of language, effectively about the breakdown of language, and that's definitely a theme running through this, and it's one of my favourite themes. The back matter is a bunch of not motifs. What's it called? Montages of sort of photo and word montages that are just really cut up and confusing and, dare I say, it could be pretentious, but I kind of like them. And that's all about lots of words, lots of, it feels like automatic writing, which is the thing William Burroughs and lots of other surrealist writers have done. And it is fascinating. So it's a fascinating comic. I'm not sure if it's a good comic, but it does look nice and it's worth having a look. And finally, because it's a real, I think it's a real bargain, the online comic thing that Brian K. Vaughan has done with someone, and I can't remember who it was, but it's called Panel Syndicate, I think. Again, I'll post all the links to this, but they've just, after doing several issues of their own comic, which I think is called Private Eye, and I can't remember, it's like a far future social sci-fi drama drama satire thing. They've actually released something by someone else. It's a comic drawer, a writer and artist called Albert Montes, who I think hasn't really done anything in English before, but normally does humor comics in his native language, which I can't remember what it is. But the first issue of his comic is, his comic's called Universe. He describes it as a series of one-off science fiction stories, but that are loosely connected. He thinks he's going to do about one every 2 months, but it took him a very long time to do this first one, so he's not sure about it. But it's pay what you like. And this first issue is, I should say first that his art and writing, his writing's really good. Although quite broad, it's not particularly subtle, but the art is just gorgeous. It's this really gorgeous cartoony style. I think it's kind of done in a landscape style. It's this really gorgeous sort of, feels very almost European. I'm having a bit of trouble showing people because it's on my tablet and I'm really not very good at doing stuff on my tablet. It feels like a Future Shock. Kind of feels like a Future Shock, but a 28-page Future Shock. And or a bigger Future Shock. That's I'm just showing them the first page, which shows an astronaut saying, "Oh shit, I'm blind. I've gone blind."
That is very sort of langy clear. It's very clear.
Really clear line. It makes full use of the sort of the fact that you'd be reading it on a screen or a tablet because it is a digital comic. And it starts out with a very black and white style, but when it goes into color, it just properly goes into color. It's a story about the creation of the universe, but it's also a story about time travel and about an incredibly greedy future businessman. And it's funny and it's cute and it's quite sad at points. It's just really good. Really, really good. It's called Universe, and you can pay what you like. So if you're a real cheapskate, you just give them a penny. I wouldn't. I'd give them more. You get three different sorts of download. So PDF, CBR, or CBZ. It's got no DRM on it at all. I'll post a link to it in the show notes. But it's definitely worth a look. It's gorgeous. It's really, really nice. I can't wait to see what else they do. What else he does. So that's it. That's the comics I got this week. I got a few other things from Thought Bubble, but I haven't had a chance to read them yet. I picked up the Fuse graphic novel, which I need to read all in one go at some point because that's a great comic. So, shall we go to Mr. Kiha from Dissecting Worlds?
Lovely Kiha.
But yeah, so let's go to him.
I'm going to put my feet up and listen to it.
Hello, it's Reese Kiha here, discussing League of Analogues 2, written by Dave Williams with art by Paul McCall. This was a generous gift, and I didn't know much about the title, but researching this is the second of two volumes. Regretfully, there doesn't seem to be any more. As the League of Analogues title might suggest, the characters in the comic have a reverence and inspiration in certainly two main DC heroes. If I say that the main character is Philotrasis of Thessaly, Queen of the Amazons, who has discovered that she's part of a universe controlled by someone called the Writer, having slipped as through a portal, she encounters a ex-brooding vigilante whose technological experiments has led to the doom of his world. He may have something to do with criminals being a cowardly and superstitious lot. When I read the initial story so far and sort of stuff by the writing, I thought, this is going to be so nasal-gazing. But to be honest with you, it's not. It's not at all. It really punchy, fast-paced story. It gives a lot of plot. The framing and blocking of the scenes is great. There's a lot of use of proper, if you like, comic book angles, but it doesn't seem a matter of artifice. There's nice use of different styles of colouring, so like flashback scenes for the Batman analogue. I've got like a speckled old four-colour comic style to them, whereas the contemporary stuff has more of a digital colouring effect. It's clever stuff. And it's a crying shame there's not more of it. I've mentioned the sort of framing and blocking of the art. The panel composition is very flexible. The the draftsmanship is good. The character designs obviously give a nod to their inspirations, but are unique, functional, and aesthetically pleasing in their own. The only thing I have a bit of a problem with are the Queen of the Amazons' boobs, but I think that's actually the way the costume's designed. Everything else is terrific. So, I think you can still get it digitally. And I'm very tempted to get Volume 2, although the completist in me is kind of annoyed. Dave's got a proper grown-up job, and it's unlikely we'll see more. So this is Kiha, Dissecting Worlds, signing off.
I love Kiha reviews. Thank you, Kiha. One of the things I love most about them is there's a real gonzo element to them where listeners will have noticed that there's a the sound, the situation he's doing them in always seems to be different from week to week. Mm. And that's because he's literally doing them whenever he can grab a spare minute on his phone, which I think is quite cool. So in the past, on the previous podcast we did, we would get them from the bus stop sometimes. Sometimes he'll do them in the room while his baby's trying to sleep and stuff like that. I love it. So anyway, thanks for that, Kiha. That's great. We should talk about Thought Bubble a little bit. We won't talk about it loads because we already have a bit and we don't want to rub James's nose in it.
I could leave.
No, we want you to stay. Jane.
Yes.
Did you think that Thought Bubble 2014 was as good as 2013 or not as good as 2013 or roughly the same?
It was better because I wasn't ill.
Yes. No, that's true.
It was a very good Thought Bubble. It was the eighth.
Have they been going that long?
Yeah.
We've been going for, what, 4 years?
Five years. Year we've been, so... it was good. It's now progressed from one hall on one day to three halls on 2 days,
mm-hmm.
or three venues. It was great. There are lots of people there. It's difficult. It gets more difficult every year we go because there's so many people that we know there now. And it's our annual social gathering that trying to get to see new stuff can be quite difficult because you're stuck talking to people in a nice, obviously in a really nice way. So really, we need it to be 3 days.
I found exactly that. That was kind of my problem. I don't think I really got the hang of the halls until the Sunday, really, because the Saturday was lots of rushing around and hanging out with some people. And on the Sunday, I lost you and Timothy Swan, who is a podcasting friend of ours, who was sharing a hotel room with me. And so I went round to try and find you. I'm looking at Jane, not you, listener. If I'd known you were there, listener, I would have looked for you, but I didn't know you were there. And I got talking to two artists that we know, Dave and Mark, Dave Stokes and Mark Lamming. I got talking to them about Barry Windsor-Smith, of all things, and Geoffrey Jones for about half an hour. And then I went round to try and do a circuit of the place, and I got talking to another two comic creators that we know vaguely on the other side for about an hour and a half. And that was kind of most of the first part of my day gone. Hardly saw Lee Gallagher at all, who I know you spent a lot of time with and who's a friend of the show. Didn't really see Steve, life partner Steve, or Len that much actually during the days, but we did get to spend lots of time with them in the evenings.
Yeah.
Were there any standouts for you?
Well, the party was pretty interesting.
Is that the first time you've stayed till like quite near the end?
Yeah. We had a nice setup. The hall was very odd. The whole thing of Interstellar 555 being on was really bizarre, and then showing Paprika, and then they were showing some anime, and then playing music over that.
Yeah.
But it was nice. The beer was cheap. And also,
I think that's just the north.
I know. It was nice, though. And then we made our own little gathering of chairs and all sat around and chatted. But the first part where people had actually specifically gone to see the films, so it started with Daft Punk, Interstellar 555, and they were actually in stalls upstairs. You could go anywhere. So I went.
We were allowed
everywhere.
To go anywhere, yeah.
I was trying doors that were locked, like in Silent Hill, where you have to go and get a key for it and stuff. But the whole thing was a lot like The Shining, all red and eerie.
Big chunks of the place.
Yeah.
I think by the end of it, because it was it's basically like we've got a really nice looking from the outside Civic Centre here in Southampton. But this was like a really old, it looks like a city hall, most American shows when they've got a city hall. Lots of steps up the front. I pretended with one of our friends as we were leaving, we kind of made a pact that we would pretend we were walking out of a trial where one of us had just been found innocent, which was good. So we did that on the courtroom steps. I don't think it's a courtroom. But then you go in and it's kind of like Southampton Guildhall, only really good.
Yeah.
It's like really old and ornate, and the floors are still a bit sticky.
It's not like the O2 Academy, formerly the Opera House in Boscombe.
Is it like that?
Smaller venue, but it's very ornate. It's very similar. It's got the stalls and things like that.
I like how niche the things you're using to describe the Leeds Guildhall is. How many people listening have a working knowledge of what Southampton Guildhall or the Boscombe?
The Opera House, I would probably say a lot of people will know what that looks like.
Maybe not any of our listeners, though.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
But
if you're in the UK, Lisa Lashes.
Plenty of tracksuit wearing chodes from the South Coast.
But then you get away from the main hall, and the main hall had all of these sorts of, it's super ornate, but had all of these sorts of slogans around the top that felt like imploring the workers to
work or set you free.
Yeah,
Latin and stuff as well, didn't they?
Yeah, and at first I was a little bit worried because I thought that was going to be where the whole party was.
Yeah.
And it was just this big, dark, and we were looking at the backs of people's heads because you walk in at the back and they're all watching the screen. But then you get away from there, and as Jane said, literally, you could just go anywhere around the sides, and it was around the sides of that, and it was all ornate corridors and nice stairwells, and we found a place where they apparently keep all of the chairs for any events, and so we sat there. Mm-hmm. That was nice. But we were just allowed to go anywhere, and no one... We were the first ones to go and find places to sit. At the whole
outside
thing,
outside of some, outside there were some little designated areas, weren't there? Yeah, but we just saw these chairs and we're like, yeah, let's just sit. A lot of them were already lined up to sit on. So
the thing, or curved up. They were curved up to sit on. So the place filled up a little bit, but as Jane said, there were points where we were walking around this huge sort of civic building where there just wasn't anyone there at all. It was really weird.
It was eerie.
It was exciting, though. And when we stayed most of the night, didn't we? You had a dance.
Yeah. You had a dance.
I had a dance towards the end. I spent a lot of time talking to two of my favourite couples in comics. So I was talking to Cy Deffin and Nick Wilkinson for a really long time. Really, it was another one of those conversations where I kept thinking, this is me not understanding which are the good stories. But they kept sitting there. It was lovely.
Too polite to leave.
Yeah, I think that's what was going on. And then when they left, eventually, when they reached critical mass and had to go, I went out to the main thing and I was dancing around with Lizzie Boyle and Connor Boyle to largely 80s songs. It was a good time because we're all roughly the same age. So that's when I caught the 80s songs with them. It was quite cool.
I saw Scott Snyder twice at the after party.
Did you meet him?
No,
did you
talk to him? I didn't go and talk to him because I was a bit drunk and I kept pretending what I was going to say to him. To Steve, and I was so animated that I actually knocked most of Steve's drink out of his hand, and then I think we both decided it wouldn't be a good idea for me to go and speak to him.
Because what if you forgot that he was the actual Scott Snyder?
And also what I was saying wasn't appropriate to say to him, so...
Did you talk to him at any point? Because he's like your favourite.
Yes, I didn't. I was too... Well, during the queue for him and some of the other creators was just absolutely insane, so I was never
ever going... party?
No, he was very excited.
Everyone was making out with him at the party.
I did think about it, and then when I turned around, he'd gone, so I was like, oh, I won't. And that was when I was a little more sober, and then I was quite drunk, and I was just being really stupid.
Oh,
well,
I liked it, though. You seemed full of the joy of party.
It was lots of fun.
I think you're right that I had the one downside for me was I had a couple of moments where I thought, I wish this happened more often or nearer to us because I did spend a lot of it catching up with people that we really, we know with like together or independently of each other. And it's the only time you see them in a whole year. So you don't want to go off and find new things because you want to spend time with people that you don't see very often, but it's a really long way to go and an awful lot of money to spend doing the same things you do every year, kind of. It feels a little bit like that.
Yeah, I think there are some other things. I was talking to Sean Azapardi while I was there, and he was talking about how he wants the small press comics to get back to his roots a bit. And he actually organised the Crouch End Comic Convention, which I didn't know he'd organised it, which was a few weeks ago, and that was a good success. The Lakes is obviously another new one that's been
Hey, why don't we do the party right here?
Well, that's what I was thinking.
Sean Azapardi.
What did I put?
No, you said it right. It's as a party. He wanted to have the party right there. He was mean to me when I was at my worst on Saturday morning. So, well, he wasn't mean to me, but he was running rings around me. I didn't like it.
James?
No, James wasn't there. Sean as a party.
Oh.
I was at home making an Airfix model on my own. with no company all day.
I wasn't sure if you phoned up Nick just to be me.
My daughter went to her grandparents, my wife went to Devon, and I sat there all alone in my pants making an Airfix model.
Oh, what if
that sounds like
on your
a
leg?
Pretty good weekend.
It's not glue, Jane.
That does sound like a pretty good weekend.
It was great.
Because I was sharing a hotel room with Timothy Swan, I wasn't nearly as debauched as I normally am. And I quite liked it. It was nice. I didn't have any comfort baths or showers. There
Did
wasn't
you feel
a bath.
Decadent?
Well, it's kind of the opposite of decadent. I was less like a Roman senator than I have been in the past. Normally, I'll just wander around in a towel or completely naked if I've got the hotel room to myself or if I'm sharing it with James. I'll just wander around and just slap things with my penis, slap things in the hotel room with my penis. But
turn the TV on.
Because Timothy wasn't there.
The top of your balls and the very, very top sides of your leg. That's what you slap with your penis. I'm saying because it's quite small and you wouldn't
well,
be
no,
able
that's
slap
true.
Things that are external to you.
I mean, a lot of things I had to pick up and hold them against it.
And really
right.
What you're doing is you're hitting the object against the penis.
Oh,
really.
Dear.
Yeah, so anyway, everything James just said is true. But normally I do that, but because of Tim, I was kind of forced to be more like a normal, decent human being. And I felt pretty good afterwards. It was quite nice. Although I spent time with lots of, I think we spent time with lots of our friends and lots of other podcasters and stuff like that. Really, Tim was, it was pretty amazing spending so much time with him.
Yeah, he was amazing. He was really lovely company. I really enjoyed spending time with Tim this weekend. We manned Mike Giorgio's table together and survived
it. Oh, you did, didn't you?
Yeah.
One of the few things I did that the only, there was a handful of people that I saw a lot of at the weekend, but normally at points when Jane and Steve when you weren't really around. So on the Friday night after you'd gone back to the hotel, sorry, it feels like home after a while though, doesn't it? And also on the Saturday night when we were making different plans for eating, I spent a lot of time with Stacey Taylor and Jenny Newman and relatedly Paul Richardson and Phil Thomas.
The Power Taylor.
I want to say Phil Thomas, but really I spent so much time talking to Stacey Taylor, who I've known relatively well from previous events and from her podcast, Stacey's Pop Culture Parlor. But I haven't spent that much time with her. It was lovely, actually. She had Wolverine hair
for
most of the Saturday. It was pretty cool.
They've got mugs. Her podcast, she's got mugs.
Yeah. Yeah, we could have mugs. Do you want a mug?
We'll never do it.
We will.
It's never going to happen. It's never, no.
We will.
No.
We will, though.
No.
We can do whatever we want.
No.
We can.
No.
Okay. Well, that's us. We've talked plenty. We've talked about Thought Bubble a lot. Always happens. Make other plans and we end up talking about Thought Bubble.
The time went very quickly when you were talking about it. So.
You loved it.
I'm talking about, I think Scarlett is almost old enough to do cons. We're talking about going to Thought Bubble, Nick, Scarlett and I next year.
Oh, I really want you to do that.
But I want to try her at the LSEC.
She'd probably love it, wouldn't she?
But we're talking about possibly me and her cosplaying or something.
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome because it'll be her choosing at this age rather than...
No.
Oh, you're going to decide on what she has.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Well, I mean, that's perfectly viable.
There are only a limited number of things that I can cosplay as convincingly.
Asterix and Obelix.
She's not... Fuck me, I hadn't thought about that. I had not thought about that. The problem is I'd have to bare my boobs.
Does he have his boobs out?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he does, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he's got that corset.
Those breeches. No, breeches.
Are they breeches?
Come up to just under his boobs.
Like Captain America. It's kind of like Captain America's thing that goes around.
Just, he's exactly like Captain America.
You could have your boobs out. It's fine.
Yeah.
No, I could do. I don't want to.
Why don't you wear a vest?
And I'd have to put makeup over my tattoos because I don't think Obelix would look very convincing with a Rebel Alliance and Saints football club tattoo.
No, true.
On his arm. And I've got hairy tops of my arms, unlike some film stars. And I don't know how to put foundation on. I don't know if I should shave. Yeah, I've got the same problem. Yeah, no, never mind. I was going to be really crude then, and I thought that's actually going to sound quite misogynist. So I backed out from that comment.
It's good that you noticed that that's what you were going to do.
Yeah.
That's self-awareness. It's good. That's all people need, really.
Yeah. Some people say I've got too much.
I would like, yes, I think so. I would like you to go to LSCC. I would like you to cosplay. Mm. I really want you to go to Thought Bubble.
We would like to. We were talking about it. We had a friend of ours came around last night for tea, and they went to Thought Bubble. They were talking about it, and I think Nikki seemed reasonably engaged with the idea.
She likes my suggestion.
Oh, yeah, it was you, wasn't it, that came around. What was your suggestion?
About renting an apartment.
Yes, we should do that. That'd be lovely.
Oh, yeah. That's what Cyan Nick
did. That's
what
inspired
did.
Me.
Ultimate hipster statement there, isn't it?
What? An apartment? I think it's cheaper.
Okay, well, we should do that. Comfy. We'd like to do that. Nick, you can have my child running around being precocious.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think the more people with children... I would like to know how people with children up there manage going to the party as well. That's
well,
my main concern.
Well, I intend to leave my wife at the apartment.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that'd work.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a plan for next year then. Do you want to do a Kickstarter? Should we do a Kickstarter to get you? Or do you think you'll have the...
Don't patronise me with your fucking disposable income.
It's called a Patreon.
Yeah. Yeah, don't you patronise me.
I think that's us. Thank you for listening, listener. Thank you for contributing, Kiha. You're awesome. And should we go?
Yeah.
Bye-bye!
That's exactly the volume you need to talk at.
I want to get back, want to get back.
Right. And now, James.
Because being out in social situations causes me anxiety.
Oh, your pain is hilarious.
Good.